right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. It's a beautiful Monday morning down here at the beach. There is not a cloud in the sky today, which has also made it a little cool. I think it was 40 degrees last night, but man, it's gorgeous. Jimmy, I am glad to be back on the radio this morning. I just feel like we're going to have an awesome week, man.
Well, you know, Troy, I'm excited because I sat out here this morning. I looked out off the back porch, and just like the view you've got down there at the beach, it is absolutely beautiful. It's one of those mornings where, yeah, you wake up in the morning and you say good morning to God and thank you for a beautiful opportunity to have an absolutely awesome day, because today is one of those days where, yeah, it doesn't get much prettier than this early in the morning. Myself, I love the fall because with the seasons changing, you know, there's something in the air about change and the way that life can, you know, it's always renewing itself and everything. And as you're probably aware, there was some announcements that came out just yesterday about change in our life.
That's true. That is true. Some big change, man. But I see that we're getting some really serious and positive feedback from that.
Well, I'm excited about that, but that's not really the focus of this show, so we're not going to waste a lot of time dwelling on that. Talk this morning. Remind me what we're talking about this morning.
We've got that beautiful little book. See, change can be so impactful. You know, we had a couple on, and the book they wrote was Go for No, and as we were finishing up the 21 Irrefutable Laws, we started realizing that we had a great, great time with the leadership, but we needed to pull back in and do some really good nuts and bolts. And the reverse psychology of that book, where they talk about going for the no's instead of going for the yes, is something that as we go into this fourth quarter, Jimmy, there is no reason people should not be having a phenomenal and successful month. Quarter. Because I just listened to a commercial the other day, and I know they're commercials, but it was from LegalZoom. And LegalZoom said that just this year alone, they have helped 100,000 brand new small businesses get started. So if that one little company can do that, you know that business is booming. People just have to understand how to do it. And I figure, hey, if we go for the no, we're going to get the yes, so let's rock this thing out.
You know, you just brought up a really interesting topic, Troy, before we delve into the meat of this, and that's the concept of starting. And brother, I can tell you that there was a lot of consultation, as you well know, a lot of deliberation, a lot of due diligence, and a lot of prayer that went into the decision for us to make the move that we've decided to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do something like that lightly. You don't do that any more lightly than you jump into starting your own home-based business the very first time without trying to make sure that you've dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and you've evaluated everything properly. And yeah, I want to pay tribute to the resource that you have at the MLM Help Desk for helping people to understand what this industry is about, and if they use it properly, they can avoid unnecessary mistakes of getting started, getting tied up with companies that are going in the right direction, either right from the get-go or that you've discovered once they've started out. And brother, let me tell you what, man, my hat's off to you, because I know what kind of time you spend doing the due diligence to make the reports and everything that you do over there. So thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, let's talk about this little book, Go for No. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this thing, and the cover is not really all that catchy, you know, but it's right there. You got a picture of a guy walking through a door, and in big bold letters, Go for No. Yes is the destination, no is how you get there. And this really comes down to a misunderstanding in my mind of the concept of, and feel free to chime in anytime with me on this, because this is something where I believe that we've been taught, most people, not necessarily everyone, but most people have been taught their entire life to look at failure and success as if it were a road sign. Sure. Where if I turn left, I'm on my way to success or failure. It doesn't matter. It depends on your perspective, whether you're right or left-handed. You know, if I turn in one direction, I'm on my destination to success. If I turn in the other direction, then I'm on my way to failure. And that's the biggest fallacy, the strongest misunderstanding, misrepresentation, if you will, that I think anyone who's looking at business, at life, at relationships, can misunderstanding. What do you think on that?
No, I agree with you. I think the only way you can truly fail is just to quit. You just finally hit a inside limiting belief, and you just say, I quit. And there's a young lady that I've just come to adore because I got teenage girls, but her name's Miley Cyrus, and she's got a song out called The Climb. And when you listen to the words, Jim, it talks about you're going to have successes, you're going to have failures, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, but it's the destination in which you're focusing on. And when you focus on that destination, you will hit a lot of different success levels all the way through there. It's just the people that quit that end up failing.
Well, and see, what you just described, though, Troy, is the difference between failing and choosing to become a failure.
Good point.
Because, you know, the idea, let me use a toddler as an analogy, and this is, man, I see this every day with Cameron. So it's, you know, he hasn't started talking, you know, very much, but he has started communicating most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see it all the time, you know, walking around Walmart, walking around any store USA. You'll see a toddler, and the conversation is going to go something like this between Billy and Mom. Can I have a cookie, Mommy? No. I want a cookie. No. Please, can I have a cookie? No. Please? I said no. Pretty please with sugar on top? No, no, no. Why can't I have a cookie? Because I said so. But why? Listen to me, young man. I'm not going to say it again. The answer is no. 10 seconds later. Mommy, I want a cookie. Oh, for heaven's sakes, just take one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what that conversation tells us is that literally every one of us are born with the instinctive desire to, number one, to have our way, period. Let's put everything else aside. The ultimate goal for us to get our way, whatever that way may be, whatever the focus of our desire could be. You know, we look at children on a playground who are attempting to learn a new skill, never mind whether it's a playground or anywhere, and they start out with this absolutely insatiable desire to succeed. Well, how do they get there? Well, they get there by falling down multiple times, brushing themselves off, getting back up, and doing it again. And they don't give up until they master it. I don't remember who it was that was the first one to quote this expression, but it's a profound truth in life. And the expression is, anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly until you master it.
That's
folks,
profound.
Let's this analogy of Miley Cyrus's song that Troy was talking about, and some of the things that we've just talked about as it relates to our own fears of business. Because in 9 out of 10 cases, everything that happens as we mature, as we get older, our self-limiting beliefs are what cause us to quit. Because we've been programmed that this fear of rejection thing is a negative. And it's truly not. It's so powerful that it's absolutely mind-boggling. In this little book, there's a great story of how you can, you know, a consultant was called in to help a company move their sales to a new level that they'd been struggling. And the consultant, you know, they pay big money to this consultant. The consultant comes in, and he proclaims, I've discovered what your problem is. And the leaders of the company, they're like, fantastic, we can't wait to hear it. And they're thinking that there's going to be some, you know, truly profound, monumental task that they've been overlooking, neglecting, or just plain not getting completed. And the consultant just says, you need to see more people. And they were devastated. They're like, well, it can't be that simple. Excuse me. He says, yes, it can be that simple. You're giving your people pre-qualified leads. You're giving them leads and everything else, and they're prejudging a vast majority of these leads. And therefore, they've got this decision in their head that they're some of these leads they don't even bother talking to. We're going to remove the lead system altogether. They're going to go out and they're going to talk to everyone that they come in contact with on a daily basis, and they're going to present the objection as the question in hopes to just talk to more people. I said, present the objection as the question. What on earth do you mean by that? It's like, well, you're in the insurance business, right? So if you walk up to someone and you say, you wouldn't be interested in hearing a little bit about life insurance, would you? 9 out of 10 people, probably 11 out of 12 people, or 11 out of 10 people, rather, are going to tell you, no, I wouldn't, thank you. But the more people that you ask that question to, along the way, you're going to run into the yeses. And let's take a moment and let's say that our objective for our weekly quota in staying on focus for having a good month is that we put 4 prospects a week into our business. That's a pretty high goal.
Mm-hmm.
The average person who's part-time, you know, let's say 2 people a week. Let's cut that in half from a full-time goal to a part-time goal. 2 people a week. In order to get to 2 people a week, you know, they decide they're looking for 2 yeses. And along the way, they go out on Monday, got their first yes out of the way. They go out on Tuesday, bam, got their second yes out of the way. Troy, what's the natural reaction to do for the rest of the week when early in the week?
Dude, I'm grabbing the surfboard and hitting the beach. I've made my quota. I don't have to do anything till next week now.
Exactly. But that mentality is actually self-defeating, because as soon as we hit our quota, we tend to relax and back off. Well, let's change the paradigm on this for a moment, and let's say that instead of going for 2 yeses, we make it our priority to go for, well, let's be ambitious. Let's go for 20 no's. Even a part-time person can get 20 no's.
Mm-hmm.
I can get 20 no's in one day. So can you. I know that, you know.
Sure.
The key in this process is if I go out on Monday and I talk to a handful of people, I get one yes, as mentioned in our analogy before. Well, all of a sudden, I'm behind a full day on my quota.
That's a good way.
Okay. Tuesday, I go out, and I get, let's say I get 3 no's on Tuesday. I got 4 on Monday, and I get another yes. Well, I've got 7 no's. I'm 2 days into the week, and I've still got 13 more to go to get my no's. But I've already got my yeses. If I change my objective to getting a specific number of no's, all of a sudden there's a dramatic change in the results that I'm going to get, because my focus is not on this. As it says on the cover of the book, yes is the destination, but no is how we get there. This concept can actually significantly increase your performance results. And that's exactly what it did with this insurance company. They actually had I forget what the exact number was, I want to say 130% increase in sales volume because people were using no as a tool to get to yes.
Well, you know, doing that, Jimmy, I'm sitting here analyzing this as you're training on this, and it seems to me that your whole paradigm would shift, your whole attitude, because you would be looking forward to hearing people tell you no instead of taking it so personal and feeling like it's rejection. All of a sudden, it is that objective that you're looking for instead of that, gotcha type deal, and you're thinking, oh, man, I suck, I'm no good. You start to realize this is part of the process. I have to go through this. I need these. And if you keep count long enough, I think you'd be able to sit down and look at your no's, figure out how much money you make when you get your yeses, and you'd figure out that every no is actually earning you a little bit of money when you look at it from a mathematical equation.
You're absolutely right, Troy. You're absolutely right on all counts. You know, first and foremost, you mentioned the paradigm shift. You know, we live in a society that is absolutely mortified by failure. The fear of failure is second only. Well, it's probably third, actually, because you've got, you know, the fear of death, the fear of public speaking, and then probably the fear of failure. Okay.
Sure.
Excuse me. You know, but what is failure is when you stop taking steps towards a worthwhile dream or a goal. You know, because Webster's, if I'm not mistaken, defines success as the progressive realization of a worthwhile dream or a goal. The key in that entire definition is progressive. Because, folks, the only place in the world that I know of where success comes before work is in the dictionary. You know, there's, coming back to the expression I made earlier, anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly until such time as you master it and can move on and do it well. I want to touch briefly, Troy, on the five levels of failure and how they affect our business, and then I want to open the lines up and get some feedback from some of our team members and people that are listening in this morning.
Awesome.
Okay? The first level of the five levels of failure, the five levels of the acceptance of no, if you will, is the ability to fail. And 100% of the people on the face of the earth have the ability to fail. Whether we choose to do it or not, that's another story. Because ultimately, it reminds me of an article I read within the last year that's titled, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Ooh, yeah.
Great article, and it reminds me of the definition of courage, quite honestly, because courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the acknowledgement of fear and the understanding that you need to do it anyway in spite of the fear, because fear can be immobilizing. Okay? So first we've got the ability. Next, we've got the willingness to fail. And the willingness to fail, this is nothing more than, I would say that this is the point where 90%+ of the population of the world sit as they relate to failure.
Mm-hmm.
The willingness to fail is those people that understand that it takes work to get to success and that, you know, failure is a necessary evil to get to an objective, but they don't like it. They still avoid it with all cost, and they just, it's a necessary evil, nothing more. The third level of failure is the level that we want to start coaching and teaching people to strive to get into by way of paradigm shift and to get to mentally, because this is where success really starts to manifest. It's the wantingness to fail. Because I'm not going to go there. Just from the definition of the way that I said that, Troy, what would your interpretation be of the wantingness to fail.
Well, it's almost as if you're saying that there's a subliminal thought process where you're afraid to succeed.
Sort of. I would characterize it as an underlying desire that the failures actually become, the more I fail in the process, the more I know in my heart that I'm destined to succeed, because these aren't evil necessities, they're just necessities, period.
Okay, I got you.
They are part of the process. If I'm going to stand on the free throw line and start shooting free throws from the free throw line, I know that the longer I stand there and practice that skill, the better I'm going to get at it. Well, I can't do that just sitting on the sideline fearing that, what if I miss? What's my team going to think of me if I miss? Michael Jordan is quoted as having said, he's missed hundreds of thousands of shots. He's missed, hundreds of game-winning shots. He's failed so many times over and over again that it's not even funny. And it's these failures that are the reason why he's the success that he has become. He did that in a Hanes underwear commercial, folks. And that quote, the audible version of that, is all over YouTube because it is so powerful, inspirational. But it's all about the wantingness to fail. Next, from the wantingness, this is where we start talking about exponential success coming from your failure. The idea of failing bigger, faster. What does that mean? Let's talk in terms of automobile sales for a moment. People don't necessarily like to deal with automobile salesmen because they, for whatever reputation that they've gotten over the years, but they've got a viable profession. What's going on with the phone here? People have a negative stigma related to our business because of their own paradigm, any number of things. But let's talk about the idea of an auto salesman who gets rejected every time that somebody walks into him. Now, let's talk about the idea of running a clothing shop. When somebody walks into the shop, the first thing that the sales agent does is walk up, "Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to our boutique. How can I help you today?" And what's the average response?
I don't need any help. I'll call you if I need you.
Exactly. Or, "No, thanks. I'm just looking."
Yeah.
Something to that effect. Okay? Perfectly well. You've just been rejected the first time. Okay? So let's take that analogy, and let's say that this car salesman is talking to a person who just walked onto their car lot, and they walk up to that person and they say, "Hi, welcome to, Humphrey Motors. How can I help you today? Is there something I could show you?" "No, thanks. We're just looking." "Okay, well, if you need me, I'll be right over here. Happy to answer any questions that you have." Now, when you go through that process, it's basically a courting process. It's a feeling out. But if that same salesman were, instead of working on waiting for people to come to them on a daily basis, and that same salesperson were eagerly out contacting people in their local community that were in charge of fleet sales for their businesses, this is what I'm talking about when I say fail bigger, faster. If there's a big fish, to put this into network marketing terms, let's talk about if there's a doctor or a chiropractor or someone in the medical profession or an attorney or a real estate broker, someone that most people would consider to be on their chicken list that you can reach out to, and if this person tells you no, great, no problem, just wanted to make sure you were in the loop because I didn't know about this later and saying, "Hey, why didn't you tell me about this?" Okay?
Yeah.
But if they say yes, what kind of connections are they going to have to be able to reach out to and start creating massive amounts of volume within your business? This comes back to massive action creates massive results. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you know, it's a new day, changes are brewing, fall weather, it's nice and cool outside, you know, change is inevitable in life, it's all cyclical, and by God, this is the time to grasp the concept that not only do you want to fail, increase your failure rate, but you want to fail bigger, faster. The last level of failure is failing exponentially. And what I mean by this is, as leaders, trainers, mentors to people in life, regardless of whether it's our children or business partners or anyone, this is about encouraging every member of your team, extended family, to grasp this concept and embrace this concept, because through doing it, you can't help but succeed as a team faster.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire process reminds me of a newspaper interview that was conducted with Thomas Edison many, many years ago, wherein he was asked by the reporter, "Mr. Edison, you failed countless thousands of times in your quest to discover the light bulb. What kept you going?" He responded with, "I never failed at anything. I merely ruled out countless thousands of ways that didn't in my quest to discover one way that did. And today, we have the light bulb." Let's open it up, Troy.
Man, that is, we've got some rocking stuff. Who wants to be the first? Let me pull up. I'm going to pull up Mr. Mark Layton, who's sitting here. Mark, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you phenomenally well, my man.
Well, you know, guys, it is not how many times you fail. It is that you keep getting up off the ground. And you, Jim, you spoke about Michael Jordan. Since you always say I'm the oldest one, I'll go back a little further in history. In his day and for many, many decades, Babe Ruth was the home run king, 714 home runs. I'm looking at his statistics. He struck out over 1,300 times. So he got more no's than yeses. As a matter of fact, you know, just on production, which doesn't count home runs, base hits, he was like a monster. He had a lifetime average of 34%. In our industry, if you succeeded 34% of the time and your volume was big enough, you'd have money that would leave a legacy. You couldn't spend it all. So just go out there and get those no's.
You know, you hit something on that. And Jimmy, you hit something, too, when you were talking about Michael Jordan. At Catalyst last week, we had a couple of kids. Actually, there's a group of them, but we had two in particular that made a very impressive basketball shot. The kid never turned around and looked at it. He just flipped the ball back, and it hit the basket. Now, it took him 15 times to do a swoosh, but he never missed hitting the backboard. He never missed hitting the rim. And when you go to YouTube, their videos are the most watched videos. And the kid that did this was a quarterback. And the reason he's able to do this is because he's got an eagle eye. And when you look at some of their videos, you actually see how they have gone and shot, I mean, basketball hoops like crazy. And they're raising money for underprivileged children. But if these guys were to stop after one, or they'd stop after maybe two and they didn't make the shot, their videos wouldn't be number one on YouTube. They would not be raising funds for underprivileged children. And I think people need to realize that. You only miss the shots that you're not willing to take. And if we go after those no's, we are guaranteed to get a yes sooner or later.
You know, Troy, that expression has been around for years, and I can't count the number of athletes that embrace that expression. But, you know, there's been a lot of successful people over the years, you know, in the acting field, where people have been told, you know, you have no possibility of being successful, you know, just leave, you know, go back to where you came from. Lucille Ball seems to be one of those. She was one of the greatest female comedians of her time. And it's only through perseverance that people can truly realize their own potential. And that's huge, my friend, because I don't believe that any one of us know what our own potential really is. And it takes a leader to reach out to people because they see things in them. They see things in others that the others don't necessarily see in themselves. And it's through that friendship and leadership that we bring the power, the inner capabilities out in others by believing in them, by trusting in them, and by supporting and inspiring them. Man, it's going to be an awesome week. I'm pumped. I'm excited.
It's going to be an awesome week. Folks, we will see you back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody.